Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Welcome to the Equity Guru podcast. I'm on the phone with Mike Townsend, who is, how long have you been on the Vancouver scene making deals? I don't want to give away any secrets, but.
Yeah, 1992 or 93, I became a director of a first public company, Pan Smack Pizza.
Well, how'd that go?
It went pretty well. We raised, close to $15 million. We opened 15 restaurants in Poland when the wall came down.
Uh-huh.
So it was a pretty exciting deal.
So I could see pizza in Poland being a thing.
Yeah. Well, there was no fast food back before we got there.
There's barely any slow food.
Exactly.
So today you're talking about your latest venture, Hemptown. For somebody who has no idea what Hemptown is and what it does, what's the 30,000 foot view?
Well, similar story to the cannabis industry that everyone's been going crazy over the last 3 or 4 years. We live down in the United States, so cannabis is not federally legal down here. So we wanted to get into the business, but we wanted to stay on the right side of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that the CBDs that everyone is clamoring for down here could also come from the hemp plant, which is the cannabis plant, but when it has less than 0.3% THC, it can be called a hemp plant. So hemp became federally legal about December 23rd of this year when President Trump signed the Farm Bill. And now it's federally legal, and it grows just like a cannabis plant, except for we grow it outdoors, which, of course, is much more cost-effective. And the plants also grow bigger, so we have more yield and very low CapEx.
And where you're growing, how many seasons do you get out of what's there?
Yeah, good question. So our current farm is in Oregon, in what they call the Emerald Triangle, southern Oregon, Central Point near Medford.
And old school weed country.
Exactly. It's some of the best marijuana in the country. That part of the world has been supplying cannabis to the United States for 50 years.
Right.
So, yes, it's a great appellation for growing. And we currently have farmed 110 acres this year, 2018, with a yield of approximately 140,000 pounds dried of cannabis flower and biomass. Sorry, not cannabis, hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, we're expanding the farm to 430 acres. So very successful crop this year, gave us a lot of encouragement to expand the farm. So we're currently in the process of raising $10.5 million U.S. to finance the expansion of the farm and all the other things that corporations need to spend money on.
Well, that's decent. That's a lot of hemp.
It is a lot of hemp, and next year we're going to have a lot more hemp. One of the things that everyone's been chasing is the CBD, as you know.
Yep.
I read your blogs. It's you talk about inflammation and anxiety and the reductions that it can cause. Next year, we're going to be planting a specific genetic that we acquire in Oregon from Oregon CBD seeds, and this genetic is going to allow us to have a plant that's predominantly CBG, which is cannabigerol. And that's the latest and greatest cannabinoid to come out of. There's 114 cannabinoids in the cannabis plant,
mm-hmm.
THC being one of them, CBD being one. And CBG, we believe, is going to be extremely significant because it's even better at reducing inflammation and anxiety.
So we're really at the sort of the junior stage of the hemp revolution. I mean, it's... I kind of put it the same way as maybe 2014 or 2015 in the cannabis space, where everybody knows they've got to be in it, but how they're in it and what they're going to do with it and who's actually going to do what, that's still kind of all up in the air. And I guess that's where the opportunity lies.
Right. And, those who get in early should reap the benefits. We saw recently where Canopy Growth Corporation just acquired some licenses in New York State on the other side of the country for hemp growing, and I think their stock added $450 or $500 million of market cap in one day.
On a $150 million deal.
Exactly. And then also earlier, you know, a month and a half ago in late 2018, Canopy acquired a company called Ebu, which is a Colorado-based company that specializes in hemp genetics. And one of the excerpts from their news release was that the platform that they were acquiring allowed them to grow some of these new cannabinoids, novel cannabinoids, they call them, at scale. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be growing new or novel cannabinoids at scale. And the genetics are an extremely important part of it. And, you know, barriers to entry, everyone asks, well, what's the barrier to entry? Can anyone grow hemp? It is a weed. Well, the barrier to entry is getting these seeds. Not everyone can acquire these seeds. We're going to take 20% of the seed availability this year from the Crawfords. And these seeds are $2 each, and we've got an order in for 950,000 seeds. So we're going to just alone the seeds for our new CBG strain will cost us almost $2 million U.S.
So going after CBG isn't less differentiated. There's a lot of companies out there realizing that hemp has got a little buzz attached to it, making deals with hemp in the headline. But, you know, in talking to some guys that have been in the hemp business for a long time, they're very quick to point out flaws in some of the news releases that have gone out, that some deals are buying hemp that you can't actually run through a combine harvester because it's too gummy. There are others that you can, but doesn't actually have any good stuff that people are really in demand for. CBG is one of those things where if you're in the know, it makes perfect sense, but it's also a bit of an education piece to the average investor. Where did you get the insight that that's where you want to be?
Well, I'm on the finance side of the company. I am the president of the company. We do have a CEO by the name of John Cummings that comes out of a company called King's Garden in Southern California, where I am. And it is the largest cannabis producer in Southern California. They did $50 million in revenue last year, going to do $150 million in revenue this year. So we have a gentleman that's been in the business for 3, 4, 5 years that's built a number of these cannabis facilities. And so he's part of the Brain Trust. And also the founder, Rod Wolterman, he's been in the cannabis industry for 30 years in various aspects, mostly in the growing. And his son, Kyle, is the main farmer in Oregon. And Kyle's been growing outdoor cannabis strains for 8 years in Oregon. So we've got a lot of background. We have a lot of dealings with the Crawford brothers, and they're the preeminent geneticists in the industry in Oregon. So and that's one thing. Another point is that this cannabis or this hemp, which again is from the cannabis plant, it's feminized. It has no seeds. It's like the sensimilla that we used to hear about in the 70s and 80s. There's no male plants. It's not industrial hemp, the stuff a lot of people are farming in Colorado, Kentucky, North Carolina. This is a bamboo-looking plant. It grows to 15 feet high, and it just has one bud on the very top. You can get CBD from industrial hemp, but you can't get the real terpene profile, the full cannabinoid profile that you can from a feminized hemp plant, which, again, is effectively a cannabis plant with the THC removed.
So let's talk about the financial side of things. The hemp that's being grown, are there any sales afoot? Are there any end users that have signed on to take product? What's your expectation of what it will eventually sell for?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's a good question. We have sold some product. Mostly, we've been selling the tops, the very big colas, the buds. They're very popular in Europe for smoking. They smoke them for the CBD benefits. Again, there's no THC. So we're getting about $500 or $600 a pound for the preeminent colas, the beautiful buds, and they fly right out of Portland to Zurich on Swiss Air. So that's interesting. We've got about 4,000 pounds of buds that we're currently marketing right now, and since they've become legal in the United States via the Farm Bill, we've had a surge in demand locally. So that's been fantastic. And we also have the rest of the plant, which is, you know, 90% of it, we have in cold storage and biomass in what they call super sacks. And we are, I actually have a phone call just after your call at 11 o'clock with a company called Piner, and they're an extraction, they're an extractor. So we've been sending samples to various extractors, and we've been, you know, trying to cut a good deal for us. The other thing about the biomass right now is that because harvest was in October, curing was November, there's a bit of pressure on the market because it's that time of year when everyone wants to sell their biomass. So our thesis is, and it happened last year, that the price of the biomass as the market absorbs the current supply, the market prices will come up. So we're in no rush to sell our current inventory. And then we are interested in processing it further into a crude oil and then possibly even further into a distillate, which adds value along the chain. So we will have significant revenues in the first half of 2019, somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 to $10 million U.S.
So you've got people that know how to produce it. You've got people who know how to process it. You've got end users already and more on the way. You've got enough cash in the bank to keep things rolling. I always try and find what's the breaking point, potential, you know, dark horse of the apocalypse on a deal. I can't immediately find one in this one. This just seems like a good business.
Yeah, we think it's a very good business. The margins are, you know, incredible right now, you know, probably in the 80% range. I think what will transpire over the next year or two as people pick up on the hemp business is that we're going to see pressure on the commodity pressure, but we're going to stay ahead of that. The Oregon CBD seeds guys, they have a number of strains that have new cannabinoid profiles. So CBN, THCV, there's a number of them. So we're going to continue to stay ahead of the curve on the cannabinoids and therefore avoid the price commodity pressure that we see coming just on the pure hemp CBD.
Interesting. So where is the scalability of this? I mean, I guess as if you're indoors, scalability is a lot bigger drama than it is when you're growing outdoors. I'm guessing that there's a lot of room around for you to grow into if you needed to. A lot of other farms around who'd be happy to be making 80% margin on their crops. The other side of that is obviously there's going to be a gold rush, as you stated. Is the CPG enough, do you think, to keep a corner of the market that other people won't really be looking at for quite a while?
Well, and another good point. We also believe that we're going to have to manufacture our own products and brand them. We believe that branding is super important. In Canada, we're not really allowed to brand the cannabis products. Mm-hmm. In California, where I live, it's all about branding.
Right.
So we have hired Glassford & Walker, which is one of the top branding agents in Vancouver, BC, and we are building our own portfolio of products. And we intend to brand heavily. We're going to go after the sports market, the golf, you know, the age demographic that we're going after is a sort of 50 to 65 year old age demographic.
Nice.
And they're the people that have the money, and they're the people that have the pain.
The aches.
So
yeah.
It's a good business.
It's not a bad business at all. And I think that for all the talk of how cannabis is going to eventually become a pharma product with pH. I can't see any reason why hemp wouldn't be the easier option for pharma companies to go to get what they need to create medications.
Yeah, I believe that that because of the pricing, I mean, we can grow this stuff for, you know, probably around $10 a pound. So I think, I mean, I have a slide in my deck that calls it the cannabis killer. So we believe that... that it's going to be difficult to make money in the cannabinoid space if you're growing marijuana. There's also in the hemp is interesting now that we're legal. We're a full agricultural commodity, so we're getting the benefits of the no taxes on the diesel that we use, no taxes on when we sell the product. We're getting favorable rates at the bank. We're allowed to use banks. So a lot less hoops to jump through, a lot less compliance than a typical cannabis business. And that was one of the things that really impressed me about the business, because jumping through hoops, and I don't know if you know, but in California, the regs around the cannabis space have been constantly changing.
Yeah.
So having a steady legal product that has no taxes is just, it's an enormous benefit.
So let's talk about the PubCo framework. What's Hemptown looking like as it rolls through the market?
Well, the first thing, we're doing this $10.5 million financing. Canaccord is on board to help us with the financing. One of the interesting things that Canaccord Corporate Finance has helped us with is to structure the deal in a way that the founder of the company is getting compensated based on performance metrics. So they're only being issued shares on the 20 million shares on signing of the deal, but the further issuance of shares is based on hitting fairly impressive targets. 300,000 pounds of biomass is the next release of shares. Then we have a $150 million revenue target, and then we have a $300 million cumulative revenue target before the founder earns out all his shares.
Hmm.
So that was something that Canaccord Corporate Finance designed, and the founders seems to be happy with it and seems to think he's going to hit all those targets, so not a problem.
You like to hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a pretty interesting deal. So yeah, out of the gate, we're going to have about $25 million pre-money valuation. Then with the $10 million comes in, of course, it'll be a $35 million valuation. And then it'll scale up on the next, you know, issue of 20 million shares. And then we hope to do an IPO in the fall, like, you know, some of your friends at TGOD did. We're using the TGOD model.
Mm-hmm.
And we've hired some of the same people that helped TGOD achieve their goals.
So if somebody's looking to get in on Hemptown now, rather than waiting for the market, they should go ahead and call a broker and tell them they went in on that financing.
Yeah, absolutely. Canaccord's going to have an allocation. We're also going to be doing some rounds down in the United States. We also have some interest from Sprott Securities in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to do a retail round. Similar again, we're going to do an offering memorandum. So
mm-hmm.
people that are non-accredited can also participate. And
that'd be great.
We want to build, yeah, it can be fantastic. So we want to build that big shareholder base prior to going public. So there's lots of awareness. There's lots of shareholders. That's the plan. Yeah, we're not in a rush with this one. We think we've got a tiger by the tail, and we just want to make sure we do it right.
And given a year of growth, both in the field and in the boardroom, I imagine that when it actually does go public, you're expecting this is going to be worth far more than the valuation right now.
Oh, yeah, considerably. I also even believe that there's an opportunity to go public on a U.S. exchange.
Mm.
You know, it's a U.S. business.
It's legal.
It's legal, fully legal. The American investment banks have effectively been shut out of the industry because, it's, you know, the cannabis hasn't been legal. So you can imagine there's a lot of demand. One thing I didn't realize is that the brokers, wealth managers in the United States, they can't even purchase Canopy shares or Aurora shares or TGOD shares. They're prohibited because of the Schedule One nature of the THC.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine. I would think even trillions of dollars potentially built up demand for cannabis hemp related legal in the United States.
Man, so a potential new bubble in the making.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if I know you, I know that just making your company hit its milestones is not going to be enough to keep you satisfied late into the night, that you're going to be looking for opportunities to add to this in a meaningful way. Are there M&A situations afoot? Are there products and things like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're in discussions with a number of businesses that are further down the chain. I guess you call them downstream. We have, I guess I shouldn't talk about the names, but we're looking at a particular company that does almost $500,000 a month in revenue right now. They have probably 16 different products in the space, all around the CBD. They're super interested in our CBG strains and our CBD distillate that we'll be producing. They're a Colorado-based company. We've been in discussions for 3 or 4 months. We were up there last week. Very excited about that. The Canaccord guys are very excited about the M&A opportunities. Obviously, they can earn some decent fees, and their trap line is like none other. I mean, Canaccord's just owned this market for so many years now that they have a list of potential acquisitions. So, yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of M&A. We're going to get big fast.
Hmm. Well, that's never a bad plan, especially in a market where everyone's looking for opportunities in a fever pitch. I often get calls from people saying, so what sector do you like right now? And really, there's nothing going on right now other than hemp and esports. And I think in both sectors, nobody really knows where to put their money just yet. They're not
right.
mature enough to really have those targets.
Right. Well, the nice thing about our company is we did have a big crop in 2018. We have some revenues in 18, but mostly that crop is in the barn right now, as we say. And we're going to be monetizing that crop over the next 6 months. We'll also have some revenue from the 2019 crop in the bottom half of the year, maybe Q4. Mm-hmm. We should probably see, you know, $6 to $8 million in revenue as well from the 2019 crop. Part of our use of proceeds for the $10 million is to purchase some primary extraction equipment, so we can extract and make our own crude oil. We call it T3 crude, so it'll be THC-free crude oil, a big cannabinoid profile, and we anticipate we'll be producing that oil in October of this year from our 2019 crop. And so we also see the potential of pre-selling some of our business because, you know, these big companies, you know, there's a lot of big companies that want to get into the space. Arizona Iced Tea's reached out to us. Red Bull's in the mix, the Cliff Bar people. These people need a constant supply of the mm-hmm. same consistent profile. They can't go on to Alibaba and buy distillate or you know and make a consistent product every time because who knows where it comes from.
Yeah.
So they need to know. They need that chain of custody where they need to know where those plants were grown, what appellation. It's very similar to the wine business, and you know, this estate grown, single vineyard, that type of thing. It's going to be a very important.
They also need to know that you can grow enough of it to satisfy what
exactly.
could be tens of millions of customers.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and there's some science involved too in. Turning the oils into water. There's not very many people that can make water soluble CBD CBG products. We're working with some scientists out of San Diego, Scripps Institute. We met with them this week, and they believe that they can truly make a water soluble product, and also a product that's going to have a lot more uptake. Bioavailability than a number of the current products on the market. Right now, these guys are telling me that when you take a calf litter, you do the drops under your tongue, you're only getting about 3% is what's going into your body of the CBDs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking a 10 milligram, you're only getting 0.3.
Mm-hmm.
So the bioavailability and making these products absorb into your system better is going to be another art.
That's the golden goose. That's what everyone's looking for.
Exactly.
It'd be kind of interesting if all those big beverage boys that are sort of lingering around the top three cannabis growers instead found that they didn't need cannabis at all and could just do what they needed with hemp, like now.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're around. Aurora was knocking on the doors of the Crawford brothers, but they said they wanted to deal with U.S. companies only at this point. So there's lots of interest from big players.
Well, I'm guessing we'll have updates on this over the months ahead. But, congrats on being in the sweet spot. I think if you could create a play out of thin air right now, you'd be pretty close to exactly what you're doing. So kudos for getting on the top of it.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your time, Chris. And I look forward to being on the show again and potentially on the site with our offering memorandum. I see that probably being out in the next 30 days.
That'd be great. All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay, great. Take care. Ciao.
Thanks, man. That was good.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.